Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. I'm your host, Noisera, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer, and I am actually joined by my good friend Billy Carson of Forbidden Knowledge. And let me tell you guys, we have a bit of a wild episode planned for you guys. Let me tell you.
Mr. Carson, how are you?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm glad to be back.
Oh, it is always a pleasure to have you on. We had a lot of different things to talk about, like we were talking about before the show. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely going to be a wild ride, but I want to say thank you for joining us. And with that being said, let's jump in right into it.
No problem, man. It's my pleasure, man. I'm happy to be back, like I said, and we're going to go over a few different really hot topics today. I want to start off with a really good quote that I actually just recently saw and posted today from Marianne Williamson. I just thought it was so prudent to the times that we're in and everything that we're trying to accomplish in a freedom society, in a truth-seeking society. And the quote is, "Nothing binds you except your thoughts. Nothing limits you except your fears. And nothing controls you except your beliefs." And man, that to me, that just rung home so deep. You know, it really did today. So it was a post that I made on my one of my accounts. I got so many, but my personal Facebook account. But it just was a powerful post because we really truly are using our thoughts to create a new reality on this planet. So when I make posts about how consciousness controls or creates reality and people start laughing and going, "You're crazy," and it's pseudoscience. No, it's not crazy. It's not pseudoscience because we have already had an appreciable effect on the human consciousness on this planet by all the posts that you have made in Freedom Faction, that I have made in Forbidden Knowledge, that many others have made all over the world in the truth-seeking community, to where a lot of people have learned what GMOs are. A lot of people have changed their habits and diets. Think about this effect that we've had on reality. Think about how many potentially millions of lives that we've actually saved by educating people about GMOs, mm-hmm. just alone. Potentially millions of lives. And then potentially generations of lives now altered because parents will now teach their kids the proper way to eat. You know, that's just one example of how we literally altered the space-time continuum in the third dimension. I mean, that's a deep, deep thing to conceive. That one act alone has altered, it sent out a deep ripple into space-time and actually made a change over many, many millions of people and will continue to go. It will never stop. That ripple will continue to ride through time forever. And so that's what we do, man. Our thoughts literally alter and change reality. When people ask me sometimes what I do, I say I alter realities in the third dimension that change the future in the space-time continuum. Because yes. That's what we really do, man. You know, and then the limiting part, fears. Fear is actually an illusion. Fear is a choice, and it's false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. You know, so people, once you understand what fear really is, and that it really truly is a choice, and that fear drops your frequency and vibration to a very low level to where you can't function, you can't think, all you can do is run and hide. Once you can overcome that consciously, you can achieve so much more on this planet than you ever thought you possibly could. You know, fear is the thing that you must absolutely overcome. And then, of course, nothing controls you except your beliefs. Belief systems are strong and powerful, as we already know, just dealing with religious systems that are put in place from the time you're born. Mm-hmm. You're given a name, you're given a religion, you know, you're given a race, you're given a country, and then you spend the rest of your life defending a false reality, a false identity. So the belief is where we have to literally break our belief system down and we need to reconfigure it. And once you do those three things, thoughts, fears, and beliefs, once you reconfigure that, you change your DNA. And once you change your DNA, you literally have supreme power in the third dimension. You literally can bend the matrix to your will and you literally skate on what I call skate the matrix. That's what I call it every day. Me and Donnie RK, we say, man, we're skating on the matrix and we're just surfing here. And we're just seeing what we can move, maneuver, and what we can do to make changes and stuff. Because that's the level of consciousness that we're at. And we're seeking to go even higher than that. But when you reach that level, you know it. And things just kind of fall your way. The universe just kind of lays down and obeys. It doesn't mean that you can do anything and say anything you want and get anything you want. It means within the universal laws, man, everything just bends to your will. As long as there's a positive frequency coming out of it. You know, and the Cabal has learned to use that technique to bend it to the dark side. They've learned to alter, and just like it says in Star Wars, people don't realize how real that really is, man. So I just wanted to kind of lead in with that, man. You know, we have to really make some changes in the way we think about things and realize that every thought we put out is actually having an effect, a real effect, on consciousness and reality in the third dimension.
Well, that's something that you talk about on your your page as well, the concept of the reality tunnel, the aspect of how your thoughts actually do affect reality. And that's I'm glad that you let in with that, because there's a lot of different things that come with that understanding. People don't understand that what they put out into the universe, what they put out into the world, is what they also sow. You reap what you sow. Whenever you do these types of things, whenever people send out these types of thoughts, vibes, you're just sending out what you're going to get back tenfold. So whenever we don't, and this is another thing that we've been talking about recently on the show as well, which is, you know, why it's great to have you on, is the concept of the multidimensional reality, the quantum reality, and how, like, when we're looking at where we are in this world, our orientation, so to speak, it is vastly more important than we really think. It is vastly more, we have more impact than we really think. So as you said before, creating this reality tunnel, you know, affecting reality with your thoughts, driving forward a certain way of being, creating this world. And that's why, you know, when we do things like this, the creation of the show, the creation of the page, the creation of everything that we have out there, it is to act in this reality that is in front of us, the one that we can participate in, the one that we can cause effect in, versus being involved in another reality that doesn't benefit anyone, that is simply meant to destroy you. And that's whenever we talk about things like the system, you know, the Cabal, the Illuminati, and these people, they have a system, they have a reality that they are trying to build. And whenever we play into this matrix, as you said before, you and Donnie Arcade, and if anything, you know, that's another thing I'd like to get into later with you, the conscious music aspect of it, but you know, the concept of the matrix as well. All of these things are very real, and whenever we look at these things, because you have it on your page, I forget the binary computer scientist name, but the one who talked about how there's a binary code in the universe, kind of talking about the simulation theory. There is a mathematical sequence to, like, how the world is, to what this world is, and we can tap into these types of things. But what happens is, whenever we're in these universes or these realities that they're having us participate in, we're choosing to build that one instead of focusing or creating one of our own. So I'm definitely glad you're saying these types of things, because it's true, and people don't understand that their thoughts have effect, that they can create a world where there isn't fear and where there is love. And what's crazy is in a fear-based world, where people don't understand that they can operate from a state of compassion, love, and understanding, all they're going to see is somebody that's being weird, that's being strange, that they don't understand, because it's just that they're operating from a stance of ignorance. They're ignoring it. So we're in a world these days to where things are vastly crazier than they were 20 years ago. We can affect change. I mean, with what you're doing with the Unite the 99, with the Plans for Somalia, like, it seemed like you guys came up with that movement literally overnight, but it's like, how many people were you able to help with just that alone? You know, just being able to pull people out and say, hey, look, your $2 here, or hey, like, your share there, or hey, like, your repost or your retweet of what we're doing, that raises awareness, that brings attention to things that people don't understand. We can create a culture of consciousness and understanding and awareness. But what has to happen is, we have to let go of these. We have to forego all of these archaic models, as you were saying before, these things that we were born with, and we've got to create our own. That's the culture war. That is the war on consciousness.
Yep, absolutely, man. And that will be the new revolution, consciousness, man. It's we're on the way, man. We are on the way, because I remember starting off so many decades ago and having to have meetings in secret, and now I can openly talk about this stuff. I've been waiting for these days, literally counting down to the days when I can utilize technology to get my word out to the masses, and coordinate and network with other people like yourself to help do the same. And it's really, literally been a countdown to these days, man. So now that I'm here and in the heat of the moment, I'm going to maximize every second I get.
Yep. Which is, if anything, a good way to jump into. I don't know if you want to discuss Unite the 99 now, or how you have the whole conscious music thing going on with Donnie Arcade, because I've definitely been playing some of your guys' music, and you know.
Oh, thank you, man.
I'm a fan of False Flagging. I'm a fan of False Flagging and Z's. Z's is really good, man.
Yeah, those two songs have done so well, and False Flagging ended up charting on the U.S. charts, made the top independent 100, and actually charted at number 20, right above Lady Gaga, which was so amazing to me.
Where did Emerald Tablets place?
Emerald Tablets didn't chart, actually. It's just doing phenomenal on streaming services, but it didn't chart, didn't hit the charts. But maybe because there's a reference to from what's his name, Lazy Bone references Jesus in there at some point. I don't know. I don't have no idea. But that song is still doing phenomenal on YouTube, doing phenomenal on all streaming services, and it's made quite a bit of revenue. But the one that's done the best has been False Flagging, with close to 700,000 just on Spotify and Tidal and all the others. You add them all up, I think it's over 1 million spins just on that one song. And plus all the radio play it's gotten. It became like an anthem in California and New York, and articles were written about it all over. People started sending us links to articles. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know these articles were out here.
Well, that's what it's about. I mean, you don't got a lot to kick it. That's what.
That's what I'm talking about, man. And Josh Reeves, man.
Man, that was. Yeah. You guys really did you did a great job with that whole album. Like, once I had I definitely had to play it on Paradox Radio for at least 2 weeks. It was.
Oh, man.
And I still play it in between stuff. But we'll put a link in that for people. But that's what we're talking about, is using the current technology that we do have to maximize the message, to get it out in ways to diversify the information for people. You know, sometimes they don't want to listen to the documentaries. You know, sometimes they want to listen to music. Sometimes they want to watch episodes. And it's good that we can provide them with this kind of culture.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good mix, because you give people learn in various different ways. Some people can just listen to a online podcast with no images and no video and get a lot out of it, like myself. I'll go walk and I'll work out. I'll have it going. Some people need some visual stimulation, and some people like to hear songs. Songs are the most ancient way of transferring information and knowledge, and that's why I got into the music industry. I said, if I can encode music with wisdom to beats that people are so modern that people would love to hear them regardless of what was being said, I can create a researcher, because eventually they're going to learn the words, and eventually they're going to go to Google and, okay, what the hell does this mean? What is a false flag? What is an Anunnaki? What is what is this about Eisenhower beating aliens? What's going on here? You know what I mean? So we really, really have been able to encode a lot of even ancient Egyptian wisdom and teachings into a lot of the music, and people have really dug it, man. And a lot of DJs are playing this stuff all over the country now. One of the top songs we have is Carpe Diem, which is an opera that I co-wrote with Donnie Arcade. I wrote the Italian parts in opera and found a real opera singer to sing them, Irma Gloria. And then Donnie did his thing on the hip-hop, and we combined the two together and made a hip-opera. And I told Donnie was like, you sure you want to do the opera thing? And I said, look, man, we're going to wake people up. I want the hardest thugs driving down the street singing opera. And and it worked. That song charted for 8 weeks, man.
See, that's it. That's the kind of moves those are the moves that make you know what you're doing is on the right path. I mean, if you know you're already over here influencing people, you know the kind of target people you're going for, and you're still affecting change outside of that, that's the real reward. Do you think could explain people, because you have a 432 hertz song and a 528 song, correct?
Yeah.
Could you explain to people like frequencies like that and things like cymatics as well? Because these are also things that you put like in your songs, because it's a good way to explain not only frequencies, harmonics, but also what is the natural, I guess, wave, what is the natural vibration? Could you explain that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we definitely encode some of our songs. Actually, the next album is going to be completely encoded for Donnie Arcade, but I have a song that I produced myself from Forbidden Knowledge. You can look it up on any app store, any music streaming service. We're on everything. But the song is called 528 DNA. And the song literally is a production by myself with the music actually encoded in the 528 hertz frequency. And 528 hertz frequencies, this is, it's been scientifically proven. This is not like a mystery, that it helps the body. This is not like, you know, pseudoscience. There's been a lot of actual experiments done on the 528 hertz frequency. And before I tell you a little bit about what some of the benefits are, what I did was I actually took the song and I encoded it 528, just the whole song itself. And then I listened to it, and the mastered version wasn't as crisp as, you know, as the as it should be. So I went back. I said, okay, too many of the A's are now getting toned down. I have to go back in and tweak this. So I took out two of the tracks, re-encoded them at 528, then reinserted them into the actual tracks, and then baked the whole thing like that, and it came out pristine and perfect. And I still got the same exact, you know, effect that I was looking to, the psychological effect, the feeling that you get out of it. 528 hertz is known literally to be a frequency that, once listened to, actually has the potential to heal the body. It actually creates a higher frequency within the actual DNA of a human being, and the frequency that it generates, it touches more encoding centers on your DNA, which gives your DNA the ability to transmit and resend and receive information, more information. And it's phenomenal when you're actually meditating to this frequency, because it allows you to go even deeper into a meditative state. It actually allows you to get into what I call the matrix and see geometric patterns. It lets you really go deep without having to take any type of, you know, drugs like psilocybin or DMT or any of these other drugs that a lot of people take. You can actually get into those same transcendental states by listening to a 528 hertz frequency tone or music. So what I've done is I've found a way to make, again, a phenomenal sounding track that you can even drive around to, that you can just chill music in your house, relax to, sip on some wine, whatever, have some guests over, have a real nice setting. Or at the same time, you can really dig deep into the song and really focus in on it. But either way, you can. It's not just like a lot of these 528 binaural beat songs. You can't play it everywhere you go because it sounds crazy and it's just, you know, it's these tones and stuff. This is actual music that's encoded. And what people don't realize is a lot of the songs on the radio, actually the majority of the songs on the radio and all these other streaming services, are encoded at 440, which is horrible for the human body. It's already scientifically proven that it's horrible for the DNA. And it actually programs you to a lower frequency. So where really? 528 takes you to a higher, 440 takes you to a lower. And there's a scientific study by a gentleman who unfortunately has passed away, who did a study on how frequencies affect water and how thoughts affect water.
Masaru Emoto.
Yeah, exactly. Masaru Emoto. And I met his assistant at the Conscious Life Expo this past was it this year? Last year. It was last year. Not 2017, 2016 February. I met her out there, and she was showing some of the frequency experiments that he would do with tuning forks. And the one at 440 was detrimental to the water crystals. Detrimental. And remember, the human body is 70% water. So if you're listening to these frequencies and it's destroying water molecules, imagine what it's doing to the human body as those frequencies ripple through your entire water human avatar. It's literally breaking down your DNA, breaking down your molecules in your body, taking you to a lower thought wavelength, taking you out of the Schumann frequency range, you know. So yep, we said, okay, we definitely got to do something. Then I did a 432 hertz. It's called 432 hertz. Look, we'll be right back. And I even did a remix of that with a powerful, powerful presentation that was being given by KRS-One, one of the famous hip-hop legends of all time. And that one's called Inner Space. So we have 432 Hertz, Look Within, and Inner Space. Inner Space is the more recent one that just came out, and it features Donnie Arcade. He dropped some verses on there, and of course, KRS-One. He did a powerful, powerful motivational speech at a looked like he was at a college, and I found it online, and I was able to contact his manager and get work out a deal with them and get authority to use it in a published song. And I was so excited about that. It was just phenomenal. And 432 Hertz is the Schumann resonance. That's the Schumann frequency of the earth, and it actually is the same exact frequency that the human heart and brain give off. So it proves that your avatar is definitely tied to this planet. We've made a symbiont relationship, and it puts you back in that symbiont relationship with the 432 Hertz. And then we went one step further and ended the song at 444, 4 minutes and 44 seconds, putting in the power of fours, you know, the power of the angel number four.
Mm-hmm.
Just really putting all the magic that we possibly could, you know, into the actual songs, man. So it's exciting, man. We're just finding other ways to reach people and, you know, giving them an opportunity to actually feel, not just listen, but feel what they're listening to and take them to a higher level of consciousness to where they can maybe think about other things, nothing to do with the music, but just other things going on even in their life that they now may be able to affect change on, think more clearly about, take tests and pass the test with higher test scores. There's so many things tied into these frequencies that people should really dig deep into research on, because frequencies have a lot to do with everything from passing tests to solving problems in your own life and everything else.
That's definitely something we've been talking about on the show a lot of, actually. And I like how you're using the concept of us being avatars, how we're literally just, you know, I don't want to say vessels, but we have energy coursing through us, but there's also energy surrounding us. There's energy dropping forward from the sun, and looking at these types of things in so many different ways. You know, I definitely like how you're explaining that. And this is a big part of why, you know, we have things the way that we do. I like that you mentioned how with the music, how it's changed to 440, you said, and how that's a little bit slower. It destroys things. Yeah. Because you can see it in the actual, you can see it in the music, you can see it in the culture, you can see how the subtle changes are taking place, but how this is also like rewriting rewiring how our brain operates, or how we operate, how things are, because that's all very, very important. And how you're saying as well, you know, with the frequencies, because the last time that you were on, you know, one of the things that you said that stuck with me that I started to look at things in a different light about is the physiostatic nature of pyramids and things like that. And how that also ties into like frequencies, you know, harmonics and waves, cymatics, and all these different types of things, and how they're important. One of the trends that we've been on lately, or one of the things we've been trying to focus on lately, is how, you know, with this understanding, the fact that frequencies, you know, operating in the beta, theta, alpha, delta, and all these other brainwaves, you can achieve these types of at advanced stages of consciousness or higher stages of consciousness. But you don't need drugs. That's the problem. Is they're trying to pass off a whole culture to where you think you need to have off drugs. You need to have this. You need to have that. You need to have a synthetic view of how the world operates. And that's them literally putting a capstone on what our consciousness can achieve. But whenever we're looking at the actual universe, when we're trying to understand ourselves and this world in it, that comes with a whole separate understanding. So I'm definitely glad that you're saying these things, because with your music, that's, like you said, something that has been passed down from generation to generation, stories, you know, history, you name it, culture. It's how you explain things. But people these days, because we don't see how the psychic repetition, how that hurts us over and over again, hearing the same thing, the same degradative mindset, the same degradative bull, you know, that doesn't advance us. That doesn't make us think. That simply keeps us in a state, a man-made culture, to where all we do is destroy, depopulate, dehumanize, rather than uplift, look within, understand, speak of awareness. And whenever we have this, as we were saying before at the start of the show, you know, this is what we're having to do. We're having a war on consciousness. These people are trying to keep us in a state of subservience, of I don't want to say, you know, retardation, but mental arrested development.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
But you know, and this is if anything a good reason to, because I'm glad that you're doing all the music and the things that you're doing, you know, in that whole field, because that's good. You're kicking open the door, you know, you're making it, I don't know, you're making it cool to be conscious, you're making it all right to talk about these types of things, and that's good. And I think this is a good reason to bridge in and start talking about, you know, your next endeavor of creating this social media platform of the Unite the 99, because that's basically what you're doing basically with the music, but now you're actually trying to get involved with media. You want to talk about that for people?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, we're definitely so excited about the concept. I just was sitting around a few years ago, and I was like, I would love a way to unite the 99% of the world, because they don't realize how much power they truly have. And there's no way in the world that, you know, at that time it was like 6 billion people. And I was like, there's no way in the world 6 billion people should let, you know, less than 1,000 people control them. And so that just stuck with me all these years. Now, finally, 7 billion people. And I said, that's it, man. I started getting a lot of posts deleted from Instagram, a lot of posts deleted from Facebook, being banned from Facebook for uploading video. I would have to make backup accounts to make admin pages of, and then forward them and share them. I said, this is getting ridiculous. I'm not posting naked people. I'm not posting people getting murdered in the streets. I'm not posting, you know, crazy stuff here, fight videos is crazy. I'm posting conscious information that people would really love to know about, and I'm getting deleted and blocked and banned. I said, that's the signs on the wall. Then when they came out with the Google came up with it, we're going to be fact checking, and Facebook's going to be fact checking with Snopes, of all people, that owned by the NSA and funded by George Soros. I said, okay, let me go back to my mind here, and I started thinking, and Unite the 99 came up. So I said, that's it. UniteThe99.com. We need to create our own social conscious community where everybody can come be a part of. It can still cross network and link with the other social media accounts, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever's out there, and share to it. But in the event that suppression reaches its all-time high, we know that our content will always be accessible somewhere online, because this is a private community that we will own and we will control. And I said, one of the most important things for this community was to not allow the three-letter agencies to come in, the Alphabet Boys, to come in and buy our data or take control of our data in any way. I'd rather see it burned down. I'd rather delete everything first, number one. Number two, to not sell out the corporation to any of these multi-billion-dollar conglomerates like Google, who will come knocking on the door when they find out that we have 200 or 300 million subscribers on there. They'll come knock on the door and offer us $45-$50 a person. That's what they pretty much pay. And in our terms and conditions, in our privacy policy, it's going to be stated openly, we are not selling this company, UniteThe99.com, to anybody. We may take on partners, you know, conscious partners, through a board of directors voting or something like that. Mm-hmm. But we'll never sell this corporation out to these big conglomerates to where we lose control. And the next thing you know, you have GMO ads popping up, you have Coca-Cola ads popping up, and all this kind of crazy stuff. We're going to utilize this platform to literally put our conscious content out where the world can come to and check it out, share it to their other outside sources, and if they want to delete it from those outside sources, delete it from out there. But you're not going to come in our page, in our network, and delete it. We're going to have real administrative people. It's going to be a real company operating in real business. We're going to promote a lot of small businesses. So people who are selling a lot of these crystals and these different jewelry types and a lot of the T-shirts, conscious community type stuff, you know, we'll definitely be promoting that stuff in there and letting them have very affordable marketing rates where they can actually make a profit. And sites like yourself, Freedom Faction, you'll be able to cross-promote your YouTube channel. There'll be a blog in there. You can blog inside the actual community itself, which can tie into all your other stuff like your YouTube channel, your Instagram, whatever, wherever you have your other content, your website. You'll be able to put articles in there, news articles, and, of course, post content directly into the system as well. So you'll be able to definitely get a lot of cross-marketing. And then we're also going to tie in music, conscious music. There'll be a conscious music section in there where people who are artists of all different types, not just hip-hop. It can be opera. It can be jazz. It can be, country. It doesn't matter what it is. And it doesn't have to all be about astral projection. I mean, as long as it's good quality music that is good for people to listen to and enjoy, we'll allow those types of songs in there. And then our A&R will be pretty much review our A&R, meaning our Pantheon Elite Records A&R, which is my record label, will be reviewing and looking into some of these posts from some of these conscious artists, and we may find some gems in there. We may produce and put albums out with them, you know. So it's going to be another phenomenal way of getting discovered and getting put out into the distribution through Pantheon Elite Records, which is my label. So we're really excited about that. And we're also going to tie in another aspect of it called Date Conscious, which is a concept that came up with a couple of years ago, and it's a dating community for conscious people. It's a mobile app and also a website, and it's going to be integrated here and linked in and linked off to, so that people who are conscious, who are into aliens or into conspiracies or into spirituality, it's very hard to meet somebody on the street and start talking about aliens. They're going to run away.
Yeah.
It's happened to me before. So I said, there's got to be a place where people who have the same likenesses and the same frequencies can get together. So I created an algorithm in there that once you answer all the questions in the questionnaire when you first register, then what happens is that algorithm goes out and it gives you a frequency range, and it looks for people with a similar frequency to yours so that it says, okay, this is your potential match. And then now you're able to connect and talk with that person and even go on virtual dates and stuff like that inside the actual app and the website. So we're going to integrate that into Unite the 99 as well. I started it, but I never actually turned on the payment part, which is very inexpensive, $4 and $5, I think it is, to get to higher levels of communication with people. Right now, it's just been free, and there's 740,000 people, almost a million people in there right now.
Wow.
And without marketing. So that tells you right there, people definitely are interested in date conscious. Okay. So that will be integrated in there. So there's going to be so many aspects. There'll be groups in there. So just like Facebook has groups, there'll be groups for people who want to talk about UFOs, government conspiracies, religion, yoga, spirituality, whatever the case may be. You can make people be able to make groups and curate their own groups. There'll be blogging allowed. And the community itself will be controlled and monitored by a board of directors and administrative staff, which will be paid, because I believe that you can't do an accurate job if you're doing it for free. Yes, we have good volunteers will be out there and people will love to help out. But when you know that you have a fear of loss of income for not working or getting the job done, then you're more apt to actually try to accomplish, what you're supposed to do. So we're going to have a small paid admin team, not a lot of money. I mean, part-time workers. And then we'll also have the community itself. And the beautiful thing about the community is when it comes to big decisions, not small everyday operating decisions, but big decisions, we're going to have to contact the community either via the mobile app or through a page that we set up. And we're going to either have, voting polls or questionnaires to where we talk about these things before they happen. No big surprises. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to keep community involved, because they're the ones who help fund it. They're the ones who help build it. They're the ones who's going to help grow it. And they need to be, it's their company too. They're heavily involved. They're tied in. I want people emotionally, psychologically committed to thinking, believing that it really is theirs, because it really will be. And I want them involved in a lot of the decision making and so forth, because it's very important that they understand that, man, we are the 99. And it's time for us to really unite and come together, regardless of race, creed, color, incomes, all of that. I mean, people need to throw out the fact that if somebody makes $100,000, $200,000, even $1 million a year, they think that that person's not in the 99%. Well, that's wrong. I don't care if you make $10 million a year, you can still be in the 99%, because the people that are in the 1%, money is no object. They have trillions of dollars. It's all about power and control. And I know a lot of millionaires. I know people who have got $50 million in the bank, football players and stuff. They can't make a phone call and stop you from going to work. They can't make a phone call and change your pay rate nationwide. They can't make a phone call and increase the laws to get you arrested for certain things. They don't have no power. All they have is a couple of dollars in the bank that's going to end up going right back into the cabal's hands. Mm-hmm. So they're also in the 99%. And people need to understand that it doesn't matter what level you are financially. We're all 99%, unless you are on the Trilateral Commission, Council for Foreign Relations, the Board of Directors of the Rockefeller Foundation. Then you're in the 99%, man. You don't have no power. You have zero power. You just have a couple of dollars in your bank account, which is fake anyway. you know? So that's what people need to understand, man. We're all broke. We're just broke at different levels, you know? And Unite2099.com is going to be a reality. We got off to a great start. We're at about $9,700 right now raised through GoFundMe. You can go directly to Unite2099.com, and it will take you to the GoFundMe link directly right now because the website obviously isn't produced. We're working on getting the servers set up. And people say, well, why has it cost 100? Why are you trying to raise 110,000? Actually, guys, to be honest with you, if you do your homework, you find out that that's a low amount of money. Matter of fact, I was contacted by a gentleman who's a sports agent, but he's very well versed in the media community and multimedia, social media, and development of these types of applications. And he says, "Man, why'd you come in so low at 110,000? Are you sure that's going to be enough?" Finally, somebody who understands what this stuff really costs. Just to give you an idea, guys, Gaia TV, which is, I'm on there with quite a few shows and some new episodes coming out soon. We'll talk about that in a minute. But their monthly bandwidth fees. Now, bandwidth is the amount of data that's transferred from their server to your device and back and forth, vice versa. Their bandwidth fees are about $500,000 a month, okay? Now, that's with only about 250,000 members. So I want you to think about that. Okay. Now, Forbidden Knowledge Instagram account has 607,000 or something like that right now as we speak. Facebook has 380,000 as we speak on Forbidden Knowledge. That's just two of my accounts out of like 100. So think about the amount of bandwidth I'm costing Facebook right now and Instagram just from my account. Okay. Now, multiply that by billions of people. So you see, the bandwidth fees are astronomical. The server fees are astronomical to keep your server hosted. You have to have a server and a backup server, and then you have to have a cloud server. And then
I think it's important to tell people that, you know, the reason why you're doing all of this is because of the censorship factor, because they're trying to create like an informational black hole.
Yep.
I think that's like the key thing to underline throughout this all. The reason why Mr. Carson is doing the whole Unite the 99 concept to get all this started is because we are systematically being censored. We don't try to make it a huge deal because that would frighten people, that would scare them, but, you know, and that would show that they're winning. Instead of doing that, rising in the face of adversity, we are coming through with our own platform where we can have our own message, get out our own content, and not be part of this thought control system to where they're telling us, oh, you can't post this because of this reason, or you can't post that because of this reason. The reason why we're doing all of what we're doing is to creatively fight all this tyrannical censorship that we see going on.
Absolutely. We have to do it. We can't sit back and just let it continue to happen to us. Today, another post this morning, I go to make a post on Forbidden Knowledge and it's blocked. It tells me that the post was removed. I'm going to post that on Unite the 99 here shortly, as soon as we get off this call. It'll be on Unite the 99, and I'll probably put it up on Forbidden Knowledge Instagram account as well. And I had to go back and do an appeal to get it replaced.
Yep.
That's just one of many. I'll go to bed with 4,700, for example. One night I went to bed with 4,700 posts. I woke up with 4,678 or something like that. And I'm like, wait a minute. 47. It went down like, I don't know. It went down maybe 5 or 6 posts, and I couldn't figure out where they were. And I got no email. I contacted support. I never got a response back as to who they were, what post they were. Facebook posts deleted all the time. And when they delete a post, they once deleted a post of mine on Facebook that was put up over a year and a half ago because it was a danger to the community. And the post literally, and they actually gave me the link to that one. The post literally was just somebody was asking me. I had made a post about aliens potentially, you know, altering the human DNA. And somebody commented under there that those aliens must have been black people. And I said, well, I'm black, because people don't know, sometimes they see my logo, but I don't know if it was only just black people. It could have been many different races of species of outside extraterrestrials that may have come here and altered human DNA. That was my answer. I thought that was a pretty good, nice answer. It wasn't disrespectful. The person I contacted, they said they never put a complaint in at all. It was taken down because of that reply. So that's just another example. And that was just recently. And I was blocked when that happened. I was blocked from posting videos on Facebook for over a month. I just got my ability to post back again. So we need to have our own network that we control, that these kind of ridiculous community guidelines are really deleted, and the only thing that we are looking for are people posting fight videos, people posting murders and murder attempts and all this crazy stuff that we see. Those are the types of things we want to get rid of. Mm-hmm. We want to. Now, there's going to be some stuff that will be allowed in there that may be some controversial stuff, but I'm talking about the regular, everyday, low-frequency, mind-boggling multimedia that we see right now on social media. That stuff is not coming in here. People taking a million pictures of themselves half-naked in G-strings, that's not coming in here. That's not what this is about. You want to see that? You can stay on Instagram. They're never going to delete those anyway. You can stay on Facebook. In here, we're going to enlighten and uplift. And there's a lot of content and a lot of people that have been looking for a place to put this kind of content out. There's a lot of people that would love to post more conscious content, but they tell me that their friends and stuff don't like to see it, so they don't post it. But here, you can come. This is going to be a big community. And guess what? When it becomes popular, just like anything else, a lot of people are going to start peeking in and looking around. They're going to be like, wow, this is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. The next thing you know, they're going to join as members. Then before you know it, give them a little bit of time. They're going to start making a post or two. Then they're going to get some likes on those posts, some attention on those. Then they're going to go, wow, let me go get some more information put in here. And then the next thing you know, it just keeps growing and growing until it's multi-millions of people. And the ultimate goal with Unite99.com is to bring consciousness to a critical mass on this planet to where there's so many people that are conscious that they finally synchronize their consciousness and go, enough is enough, guys. We now completely have the frequency to understand what's happening, what's going on, and where we are on this planet. We now have the power, the unity to make a change through thought, not through violence, through thought. Through collective thought, we can now make a change on this planet and move the power back to the 99%. And that's the ultimate goal of UniteThe99.com. So if you have a penny to donate, a dollar to donate, it doesn't matter. We definitely will take any donations we can because it is a very expensive platform. The database back in itself is the same that Facebook would use. It's called Cassandra. You can't go into a project like this and put a SQL server on it, which is cheap. A little multi-shared IP address server from HostGator. You can't do that kind of stuff. Because when I make a post about this on Forbidden Knowledge, I'm going to get 100,000 people signing up that day. And there you go, your SQL server's dead. You gotta now shut the whole thing down. Then you're going to have to move all the data over to another server, get a dedicated... No, we're going to the top right away. We're going to get the best of the best, dedicated server, dedicated IPs, multiple locations, mm-hmm. cloud servers, the right type of back-end database system that can handle millions of people, millions of gigs of bandwidth a day, video servers. Everything needs to be in place from the beginning because once you flip the switch, the worst thing you could do is turn it off again. You yep. can't do that. You know what I mean? So it's got to be right from the beginning. So that's where we are, man. I'm excited about it. And I really would love more support on it. So anybody that can help us out, either financially or even just sharing the information about Unite the 99, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Share the information, get it out there so that other people who may be able to even put in a dollar can at least do that. We'll be more than appreciated.
I'm glad that we'll definitely put the information in there below. That way people can donate, mm-hmm. We'll put it in the episode. That way people can put it out there to other people as well. And, that's why we have this here the way that mm-hmm. it is so people can understand that the information that we're providing, it's totally free. Everybody else can see that out there, but the work mm-hmm. is not. And so we're not trying to complain. We're simply trying to make the situation better overall. We're trying to optimize how efficient we really can be in the information delivery. As we talked about throughout the entirety of the episode, using music, using culture, mm-hmm. using everything at our disposal to try to expose the lies of these people and to show all the types of things that they're doing, but at the same time to empower people. And that's what people mm-hmm. have to understand is that social media is the tool. It's used for however you decide to use it. You can use it to look at cat videos, or you can mm-hmm. use it to do research. Myself, people like you, myself, and other people as well, because I think it's ironic that you're talking about the censorship. I actually had I had I Wake Sheeple on, and she was saying how she talked to you mm-hmm. about how she was also having posts being deleted. And I guess I get caught up posting so much, I don't even take the time to notice, but I think that's something I should start paying attention to mm-hmm. because they're doing it right underneath our noses. At least you're being
and alerted to, you know, when your posts are being taken down. They could be doing it to me for some time. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. you know, I've gotten used to these people censoring me, but, you know, that's right. that's why, you know, we've come up with the podcast. That's why we've come up with the mini casts, the different shows, you know, Paradox Radio, other ways to get the message out, because the systems that we're working on, and this is what you're doing with Unite the 99, the systems that we are working on, they're only going to last for so much longer. They're not going to let us keep doing this. They're not going to let us sit up over here and reach, you know, for me, 60,000 people a day. They're not going to let you, you know, reach and pushing 600,000. You know, they're not going to let us keep doing this every day, because that's having too much of an effect. And that's why we're choosing to, with the time that we have, be effective in that many different realms. It's not just simply posting about what we were up to or saying go watch this. It's because we're saying we don't have the time to post about all this other stuff to educate you. That's why we're doing everything else. And so that's why I'm in full support of creating this new platform, because, you know, Instagram is owned by Facebook. Yep. You know, the big three, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, you know, it's only a matter of time until they keep instituting more censorship. I'm used to people not being able to even comment and just messaging me directly, you know, and that's the world that we're having to go into, because these people, they own these technotronic systems, these technocratic systems where they can have their own rule. They don't have to abide by any kind of government rule. They can delete you off of the press of a button. And that's years of work just gone.
Oh, man. And I've seen it happen to so many other accounts. And every time it happens to another big account, I race to my phone. Let me check mine. Is it still here? And I'm like, whew. Oh, my God. I can't believe it's still here.
Yep.
You know, dilute the power. He's been deleted. I mean, there's so many of them. I can just go on and list. I mean, they have had hundreds of thousands of members, and they're just gone. You know, just gone just like that. Illuminati, Fight the Illuminati or something, he got deleted recently. I think he had 450,000.
Didn't the poor guy get deleted too?
Oh yeah, he got deleted too. That's right. Yep. Yeah, man, they're taking us down one at a time. I'm sure my name's on the list. Eventually, they'll flick that magic switch on me as well. You know,
I tell people I'm grateful. I'm grateful that they even let me. Like, I'm grateful that they let me in their lives whenever I am able to post about these types of things. You know, the fact that people listen, that's one thing. The fact that people read, that's another. The fact that people comment, that's another. Like, I'm really just grateful of being, like, in this position. But I know, like you said, it's only a matter of time. And rather than stressing out everybody else on, well, how are we going to figure it out, I think what you're doing is the best way to do it, to be like, all right, this is the eventuality, or this is the extreme. Our best logical path forward is to create our own platform to continue these types of discussions.
Yeah, we have to. I mean, the suppression has been so strong. When I first started getting into forums and web blogging, I was called Survive Pole Shift. I wasn't called Forbidden Knowledge at that time, because I was really trying to get information out to people about the potentiality of a pole shift sometime in the future on this planet, usually somewhere between 2025 and 2030, the potential of it. And I started educating people about geology, about, of course, Nibiru. Not that it was going to come and hit the planet, but that it was sending asteroids streaming inward. And I was tracking asteroids from the NASA data and posting it on a daily basis. And then I started a YouTube channel. The YouTube channel went over 100,000 subscribers. You know how hard that is, because you do it every day.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you go to youtube.com/survivepoleshift, SURVIVEPOLE shift, it says deleted, gone. That's one of the biggest account on YouTube that I ever had. I was so devastated that happened to me. The website kept getting pinged down, ping attack. And then I did a mobile app. I said, well, I can't get to the mobile app. Wrong. The mobile app got pinged down. It was the very first one to do a mobile app. 2008, a Truth mobile app. And called Apple, called, at that time it was Android. Google Play didn't exist at that time. And they both responded back. They can't figure out why the app is not working and why it's not up. Neither side could tell me why the app was gone. I put it up again, gone again. I said, okay. So I took a break from doing that for a little while. And then I came back with Forbidden Knowledge and started pushing it out that way. Went and got a brand new Apple publishing ID. Went and got a brand new, at that time, then Google Play publishing ID. And then put apps back up and stuff. So it's just been... It's been a wild ride, man. Now YouTube's taking away all the revenue, making it harder on people making these custom, you know, personalized videos.
Mm-hmm.
It's just every day it's something new that, you know, another hurdle they put in our way. And that's why we as conscious entities have to say, okay, we can't just sit here and keep calling ourselves victims. We have to take, you know, the horse by the, you know, whatever they say, the horse, the cart before the horse, whatever they say, we got to do that. We have to take control.
Grab the bull by the horns.
Bull by the horns, man. We got to, even though I don't want to hurt the bull, man, but the cabal is the bull in my eyes right now. We got to take the bull by the horns and we got to control our destiny. We have to come together and actually make our own reality. And that goes along with creating unite99.com. Yep. And people say, some people were commenting, you can't change anything, you can't do this, and you can't. I'm like, look, bro, everything that has ever happened on this planet happened from a thought.
Yep.
Even if it wasn't an alien thought, it was a thought. Even this, I told the person, an example I use all the time, the cell phone that he was using to contact me and send me that comment was a thought in somebody's mind before it became a physical reality in the third dimension. Proof that thoughts create reality, literally. The headsets that I have on right now, these Logitech wireless Bluetooth headsets, were conceived in the brain of an entity, a conscious sentient being. Consciousness created this in his mind. He then transferred that conscious thought onto probably paper, and then from there into an actual computer-assisted design program, then made further tweaks to that, got a team involved in it, and then from there they collectively use their consciousness to actually get this information to a manufacturer that can produce an actual physical object that you can hold and touch in your hand. Look at the top, look at the bottom, turn it around. And then they had the electronics part created, put it all together. So between the first person that had the initial thought and by the time it's all done, it might have touched the consciousness of over 2,000 or 3,000 souls before it became a reality. You know, so that's how consciousness works, and it's going to work the same way in the conscious community. It's how it's been working. You put out a post on Freedom Faction. You start talking about these types of different conspiracies on YouTube and mm-hmm. different types of FEMA camps, whatever the case may be. I'm out here talking about, collective consciousness. I'm talking about spirituality. I'm talking about all these different topics that we touch on every single day, and the reality of nature of what's going on and what the governments are doing, the shadow governments doing behind our back, what they're doing with our money. And people start to wake up and start going, asking questions and looking around. And then they transfer that conscious thought to somebody else. And the conscious thought just keeps jumping and jumping and jumping until we have a super conscious planet. And that's where we're going.
And I agree. That's all we can do, is put that code out there, put that signal out there, let people try to pick up on it, resonate with all the work that we're trying to do, resonate with all the different types of things we're trying to get out there to people. And mm-hmm. one of the things that you touched on that I think would be a great springboard, because there's a few more things I want to try to get your opinion on while we have the time, is things like the nature of reality. And that's kind of something that we touched on the previous episode, but things like mm-hmm. Dr. James Gates, the idea of Adinkra symbols, the mm-hmm. simulation theory, the holographic universe theory, and how there's a code to the universe. Do you mind mm-hmm. If I could get your opinion on that?
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely. Listen, man. James S. Gates. Jr. is a professor at the University of Maryland. Okay, this guy, this guy is amazing because the guy has reached the highest pinnacle of his career by becoming a scientific advisor to the President of the United States, which was Obama at the time. So that tells you that's one of the hardest jobs probably in the world to get, to be able to be an advisor to a president. Between that and getting the nuclear codes, those probably two hard jobs. Okay, so yeah. So the guy is really very well achieved. He's a master at supersymmetry, which is super quantum mechanics, and he has really delved deep into the nature of the code of the ether, the soup that we move our avatars through and the planets float in. And because we're really in a soup, we're actually in a liquid that we really can't detect from this perspective, but we're in some type of a fluid. This fluid has a code in it, and he literally has discovered these symbols called adinkras. Now, these adinkra symbols go all the way back to the Dogon tribe and the Zulu tribes and some other tribes in Africa that actually have these patterns in clothing. And in their oral history, they talk about the dream world and how these symbols represent the dream nature of the universe and the world that we live in, and that it's a dream, that when we wake up, we enter true reality. But right now, in this holographic, or they don't call it holographic, they call it dream world, these symbols represent the different ways to navigate through the world. So what they're trying to say really is, these symbols allow us to navigate through the matrix. If you translate their history, you know, their verbal history, that their oral history that they hand down. Now, this guy James S. Gates has discovered these adinkra codes and discovered that there's mathematical codes within them. Now, these mathematical codes are not just any ordinary mathematical codes; they're the actual exact mathematical codes that operate and control internet browsers and search engines. Now, that is the most mind-boggling, scientific, peer-reviewed fact, not fiction, not pseudoscience, not guesswork, fact that I've ever heard since I've been on this planet. The fact that everything that I've been thinking from the time I was a little kid is absolutely correct. We're living, most likely, in a holographic universe that is running off of code. And when people who are religious take a step back, take a deep breath, and then go, let me think about this for a second. This means that the universe is created. Exactly. Just like your Bible has told you, if you're a religious person, just like the Quran and some of these other books that you may have been involved in, whatever religion you're in, they all say that we're living in a creation. Okay? Guess what? It's right. We are living in a creation. The nature of this universe is holographic in nature. We've already proven that atoms are 99.9% empty space. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that really truly creates what we consider to be matter is consciousness. Where consciousness flows, the energy goes. And so through conscious thought, we manipulate and flow through this matrix system, collectively creating as we move through it. Now, ultimately, there appears to be, according to James S. Gates, a programmer. Is this God, you know, or are there gods, plural? What a lot of the quantum physicists and theoretical physicists are now saying is that this holographic universe appears to be a creation through a sophisticated mathematical programming, which incorporates phi, the Fibonacci sequence, and the Mandelbrot formula to create fractals, because we are living in a fractal holographic nature. That's a universe that's already been scientifically proven, as above, so below. So above us, in a higher dimension, in a higher realm, there may be theoretically another simulation. This may lead to what the multiverse truly is. The multiverse truly may be an endless sea of ancestor simulations. And so what does that really mean? Does it mean that we're fake? Does it mean that we're imaginary? No. We are conscious light, our light being, which is being actually broadcast in, again, scientifically proven, our light frequency being broadcast into this dimension and then matched up or temporally, time locked into or encased into or imprisoned in an avatar body for a short period of time to experience reality or this nature of reality subjectively. and then maybe sends that information back to the collective consciousness as to what it feels like to be in this realm. But the fact that there's a scientific study done where they took individuals and put them in separate rooms at a university. They then turned off all the lights, put a computer screen in front of their face with images that randomly would show up, and with they had sensors on their brain to pick up the brain signals. So every time you see an image on a screen, your brain sends out, it sees the image registered inside of your head, and it sends out a frequency. A scientist can actually detect this frequency and say, okay, they saw the image. Now they can go further and they can see the image that you thought you saw on a computer screen separately in another room without having to see the image themselves. So they can actually see what your brain is seeing too. So what they did was they set this experiment up. I know, it's crazy stuff, man. We're talking about Minority Report stuff now.
Yeah.
Okay, pre-crime.
Yep.
All right, so now what they do is they put these random images up on the screen. Some are flowers and blossoms. Then the next one randomly might be a murder scene, like a person gored out with a knife. Then the next one, you know, maybe two or three more really nice kids playing at the park, things like that. Okay, so this is what the science found out. They found out that up to 7 seconds before the image was shown on the screen, the brain knew what it was already. The brain detected the drama murder scene up to 7 seconds before it showed up on the screen and registered it on a computer in a system, 100% detectable, peer-reviewed science. So what does this mean? 7 seconds before we see something, we already know it's going to happen. We already see it. We've already experienced it. This is amazing confirmation of a broadcast system. Just like when you have a satellite in space, there's a delay between getting the communication back from the satellite back to the Earth, or communication from the satellite orbiting Mars back to Earth. There's a delay. Why is there a delay? Because information has to be transmitted. We're getting information from the future before our avatars actually can recognize it in the third dimension. So this is amazing, amazing science, man.
So what, it sounds like, because I definitely remember reading an article like a few months ago about how there was research that confirmed how there was a second layer of hidden layer of information in DNA, how the nucleotides, how they were able to communicate entirely different. If you're saying we're able to receive information at a faster rate than what we expect, basically like we're receiving the information before we actually receive the information.
Yeah.
Could that mean that that means again, if I don't know, if you ask me that makes me think again more of this multidimensional aspect of the human experience, that aspect of us to where we don't really understand how we're perceiving information. That's like one of the things that I talked about as well. Like, what is infinity? What are we interpreting now? If everything is existing, if everything that is, was, and can ever exist is taking place right now, how are we interpreting that right now? Is it just like that? Why, like we're saying, you know, with waves and with energy, are we receiving information before we're actually receiving information? Does our body operate in different realms that we can't even comprehend yet? There's so much to the human experience that I think we don't really give ourselves credit. And as you said before, you know, living in this soup matrix, living in this like holographic universe, because that's a question I want to get your opinion on, is do you think with people like Elon Musk, Stephen Hawking, and all these other people that are coming out talking about us living in a matrix, do you think that using these quantum computers, these D-wave computers, do you think they're trying to figure out again this code of the universe and trying to manipulate it?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. That's what CERN is really all about. CERN is smashing atoms is a cover for CERN. It's been a cover since day number one. Yes, they do smash atoms together and watch the quarks break off and everything else and leptons and all this stuff, but that's not really what it's about. It's really all about finding ways to manipulate the space-time continuum itself. And ultimately, they may have already done it. The thing that you brought up about the DNA, I want to go back to that real quick. The DNA operating at different frequencies and on the two layers. Science have now discovered that the actual DNAs themselves send and receive information consistently from the universe. Send and receive. Now, what we call the junk DNA, which has been cut off, and was cut off by the Anunnaki, as proven not only in the Sumerian tablets, but also even in the biblical text. When you go to the Tower of Babel incident, I can identify the exact moment we were changed. We were already further, you know, genetically modified to be worker slaves. And then when the Anunnaki left this planet in the Sumerian text for one of their travels, wherever the hell they go, they just go around the place starting to be civilizations. They came back, and the person that came back and saw the Tower of Babel was Enlil. In the Bible, he's called God because that's what they do in the Bible. They call it, there's only one God in the Bible. Even though the word God in the Bible is mistranslated, it's supposed to be gods with an S. Everywhere you see the word God in the Bible. But anyway, it's Enlil, Yahweh. He's also known as Yahweh. Mm-hmm. He sees the humans working together in unison, together, collectively, as a team, for one common goal to build this space tower. Which is actually what it was, because they were going to put a Shem on top, which translates into spaceship or ship that flies into the heavens. So it was a spaceship there, a space tower they were building, a spaceport. He knocked it down because he was like, oh my God, if these billions of people that we've created can figure out how to do this, and they can also already live long enough to where they can accomplish these types of goals, they're going to be rivals for us because they outnumber us by the millions. So what does he do? He destroys the tower, blows it up, takes the people, scatters them all over the earth, changes their language. This is more further proof that this is not a God speaking to, you know, here. This is a person who realizes he's got competition, and he just, so he, no God, no true all and loving God will destroy something that people have come together to, in unison to be as one to build. There's no way in the world, especially if it doesn't have any, it's not a weapon. It's not, you know, it's just a tower. He destroyed it. Now, at that time, he says in the Bible, my seed will not abide in man forever. His days, his years shall be 120. Now, let's look into scientists at the Harvard University, where they just recently did an experiment that discovered that chromosome number 2 in the human genome, out of four, we really should have 48 chromosomes, but we only have 46. Chromosome number 2 was taken out through a genetic process, and the was spliced and infused together to make a telomere-to-telomere connection. Now, this telomere-to-telomere connection is really important to understand what this means. These capped telomeres on top of DNA have a certain amount of buffer material in it. And what that means is every time DNA replicates, the telomere cap that has been placed on our DNA, it uses buffering, like a U2 buffer, to give you a little bit of space over, and when the DNA is replicated, you don't lose any information in the replication process. Here's the trick. They found out that the reason why human beings die is because these telomeres, the buffer runs out after 120 years. Mm-hmm. So here's scientific confirmation of what happened in ancient times when Enlil literally ordered another genetic modification further of human beings on this planet to limit their amount of years that they can live till we can't become smart enough and live long enough to achieve big lofty goals like becoming a space competition with them. So they actually discovered this at Harvard University. They then found a way to stop the buffer delusion, and to stop the telomere buffers from shrinking, and they were actually able to extend the life of mice 3 times longer than the average lifespan of a mouse. Think about that for a minute.
Life extension.
So, life extension, man. What's going to happen if we can live now? The average human being, you know, lives 85 years to 90 years if they have a healthy diet. If they don't have a healthy diet, 70 years. But if we can live, you know, close to 300 years, you know, or more. But here's what's going to happen if we don't unite the 99. These corporations are going to get their hands on this life extension technology. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you're going to know, they're going to be selling us times, like just like the movie with that singer, that Justin somebody.
Justin Timberlake, yep.
Justin Timberlake, out of time. Okay? They're going to start selling us time in the future if we don't get our act together.
And this is the transhumanist goal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, so they know about this already, man. And they're this is published peer-reviewed science. Again, not pseudoscience, not theory stuff. This is real stuff, man. And you can go look up and find out for yourself. This is happening right now. They already extended life in mice 3 times normal lifespan, which means they already know how to do it in humans. If they put that out now, they already know how to do it in humans and possibly are already doing it in humans. Yeah. And then going back to the signal of the DNA, how it receives, that we already know that the DNA was more receptive in ancient times and that human beings were more in touch with the human frequency, the resonance of the planet, and was able to receive this advanced information just like animals do. because to give you a good example, when the tsunami came to, I think it was the Philippines a few years back, and destroyed, killed all those thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, there were no wild animals discovered. Bodies of dead wild animals were discovered. None of them. They were all in the mountains. They had all left the area close to the shorelines. Okay, this happens all over the world. The SEALs in California knew about a tsunami coming. They got out of there a week before the tsunami arrived, and they're always there. They're like a tourist attraction. Everywhere you go in the world, these animals get this advanced information, and they adjust and they make their movements based on that. So how come they're getting this advanced information and knowing it and registering it and acting on it, and we can't? It's because we've been genetically disconnected from those parts of the frequency in the DNA that gives us this advanced information that's being broadcast in here, and thereby making us extremely vulnerable.
Yeah, I could not agree more. That's what we have. That's what I'm talking about all the time, is how we are tied in. Our bodies are designed to receive the natural energy of however you want to call it, God, source, energy, whatever you want to call it, the creator, the programmer, the designer, Yahweh, you know, the Most High. We are designed to interpret those type of signals. And whenever you have ELF towers, Gwyn towers, cell phone towers, and all these other artificial sources of energy over here on the actual ley lines of the planet, on the ley lines of the Earth, basically hijacking that natural frequency, we're giving ourselves over to this artificial system. So you definitely touched on a few things, you know, in that, you know, the fact that the Tower of Babel was very real, the fact that they scattered people across the world. This is, and ironically enough, another stone tablet came out, they studied it at the University of London, but they said that it's a 2,600-year-old tablet, and it was discovered a century ago, and it basically gives credence to the ziggurat, to the Tower of Babel, to the Temple of Babylon, you know, and King Nebuchadnezzar. These things are very real. Whenever we're talking about these types of things, it's not so much of history repeating itself. It's us looking at what has taken place. Where do we come from? What is this world that we're living in? What is this? Who are we? You know, we're basically a race with amnesia. And whenever we try to look back at history, you know, we see either cover-ups like the Vatican, or cover-ups like the Smithsonian, or cover-ups like you name it, the Council of Nicaea, you know, the burning of the Library of Alexandria, the book burning of the Nazis. And if anything, you know, we're in our own version of them trying to pigeonhole all the information that we have today. That's why we're trying to create an archive and back up what we do have, because these are the times that we're in. This force that keeps showing itself is doing this. Mm-hmm. It's forcing us to forget how influential we can be, how influential one person can be, and the effect that we can have. So in the time that we do have, you know, there's definitely still like a few things I definitely want to talk about with you. But if we can, have you heard any developments on Antarctica, or do you know of anything going on in Antarctica?
Oh, man, there's so much going on down there. It's really mind boggling. That and even for myself, that I found out a lot about this very late. Not, you know, because it's you have to really take the energy and time to go look into it and really dig into the research. I knew a lot of the basics of the Antarctica, you know, from the Nazi era and everything else. But I mean, more recently, the developments of this pyramid. It's not just one pyramid now. There's multiple pyramids down there.
Wow.
In Antarctica. Now, the amazing thing about these pyramids is the majority of the pyramids on the planet Earth, when you look at them, they discover them all over the place. The capstones are always missing. Okay. Well, the capstones on these pyramids in Antarctica appear to be intact, except for one. Now that's extremely rare. Okay. That means that before these pyramids were covered in ice, it must have happened so rapidly that the, I don't know if you call it the away team or the evacuation team, whatever you want to call these guys that went around the world burying megalithic structures in trillions of tons of sand, with imported sand. It's already been verified at like places like Göbekli Tepe, which is still completely buried. They've only dug out 5% of this place in 10 years. And all these other ancient sites, even including now they found another 200 or 300 pyramids in the Giza, sand, underneath the sand, completely buried with like buried, not just covered because of time, but buried. So now you start to begin to go, what happened? How did these pyramids move into this Antarctic position? Now you have to go back to some of the stuff I was talking about in the late 90s and early 2000s about the pole shift. Mm-hmm. I found some research on Einstein talking about the fact that the Earth's crust has actually shifted four times in the past, and it will shift a fifth time in the future. We don't know when, but this slippage will occur. And now when I start digging into these pyramids with these capstones that are frozen and all this, that are, you know, coming out of this melted ice, and they have found more recent discoveries of animals from that era, you know, different types of mammoths and seals. But the thing about them is when you cut them open, they have fresh greens and fresh food in their stomachs.
Wow.
How could that happen? How could these pyramids and these animals go from obviously being not frozen to frozen? It proves to me that there was a pole shift that happened at that particular moment that shifted that continent into that position, where from a much warmer climate in a very quick and brief period of time, encasing some of these animals and, you know, in snow immediately or ice immediately, preserving them till this very day. And now that the snow is melting and ice is melting from these pyramids due to global warming, they're coming out with capstones, which is amazing. And most likely they've never been tampered with on the interior until probably now. We've got all these bases down there. We have literally about 30 or 40 bases down there and camps from all different major companies around the world. And they're all down there now, most likely, in my opinion, going into these pyramids, man, and finding out what's inside of them, you know, research teams.
I've heard people like Steve Quayle and Timothy Alberino talk about how they're seeing giants that are cryogenically frozen, that are in like a state of stasis. They call them cloud eaters. Do you know if anything like that?
There's been a couple of those discoveries made, and wow, it's been so hard to discredit them because it looks, some of the footage I've actually seen, it looks really convincing. And even some of the artifacts that are laying around in some of these tombs and stuff that have been opened up. The thing is, I don't know if it's quality Hollywood production, like, you know, style, or if it's real. But I would tell you that I'm leaning more towards the fact that it's potentially real. It just looks so amazing. And when you look at the surroundings and as the camera moves, it's not too shaky. It just really appears. Some of these artifacts look to be like real artifacts. I can't see somebody investing. Well, a set like that would probably cost about, knowing for myself, doing movie sets and video sets, I would probably invest about $30,000 to make a set like that, to make it look that authentic. Wow. You know, and so I don't know, man, who would just invest that kind of money just to make a fake video, you know? But I can't wholeheartedly say it's 100% accurate, but I can say that based on my opinion, I think it's extremely plausible that they're going to find these pre-Adamite type people down there, these giant bodies, and maybe some of these Anunnaki graves down there as well, you know, close to these pyramids, because I think that was a potential another collapsed Atlantean civilization that was buried in ice, probably overnight.
That's definitely something I want to have you back on whenever you have the time, is to come back on and talk about like things like the Anunnaki and mm-hmm. and what that means, because I'm basically, my thoughts on like the pole shift, how all this stuff like coordinates, you know, Antarctica, seeing this flash frozen ancient civilization, all of this stuff, like it for me, I don't know, it ties in. There's got to be some kind of common thread, and I'm not seeing it yet. And right. So what it basically makes me think is like, okay, are we going more into this time? Is it where history's repeating itself? You know, is this why the elite are going ahead with their bunkers? You know, is this why people mm-hmm. are doing their things, because they're predicting a pole shift? Yep. And then you've also got to throw in into consideration, you know, things like Nibiru or Planet X, mm-hmm. because these right. are all different factors that, you know, for someone like yourself and me curious about, you know, basically these mm-hmm. paranormal things or yeah. or what's going on in our heavens or this secret space program, whatever mm-hmm. all of that is, you know, that they're trying to hide from us. That's definitely something I feel like is important. And yep. I'm still to this day researching it.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. I can definitely put it all together for you, and we can have a great talk about it. I have a great pitch page into Gaia to let me do an entire series. Well, the series is really going to be called, if it goes through, it's going to be called Forbidden Knowledge with Billy Carson. And in that series, I'm going to go into topics and do mini-series within the series. Like, I'll go into the Anunnaki, and I'll do maybe 4 or 5 episodes just on the Anunnaki, so that we spend at least 3 hours educating people on everything that I know and all the research that I've been through and what others have been through to try and pull all the information together and put all the pieces of the puzzle together to give you a really good understanding of what has happened in our past and the current, and even up to our current day. So we can definitely talk about that more. I just submitted that document to them actually today, so I'm really excited to see if that one goes through and that we can make that happen, because I'd like to start going through all these different posts that I have that people are always saying, I want more information, but then they come back and go, I don't know where to research, can you help me? It's just like I'm getting millions of requests today. So if I can say, go to my channel on Gaia, where I go in depth into the holographic universe, I go in depth into the Anunnaki, I go in depth into the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, you know, that's where I'm trying to get it, to where I can, they have a place to go where they know the research is vetted, they can get it all in one place, and they don't have to worry about getting to, you know, some hidden agenda pages or pages that are making up stuff or whatever. They know that the information is going to be triple vetted where they go on Gaia, and it's going to be real. And while I'm on the subject of Gaia, real quick, I just want to say something we kind of talked about before we started the show, was that some people are asking me, how come Gaia costs $9.99 a month? How come it's not free? Information should be free. I think it's very important for people to understand that Gaia is like a United 99, but just in video streaming. They have over 7,000 amazing videos on that network, which is more videos than Netflix has. I think Netflix has about 4,500 or 4,800, something like that. So they've trumped Netflix, but all with conscious content, well-sourced and vetted information that you can rely on. Not only that, each episode costs anywhere between $10,000 to $20,000 to produce. Just think about that for a second. You have to have directors. They have 4 studios. They have to rent studio time. They have to pay producers. They have cinematographers. They have video editors. If it's off site, like they just had to go fly to Peru with a whole crew of like 12 people. Every person's got to have an airline ticket. Every person's got to have a hotel. Every person's got to eat. Everybody's got to have a per diem. Then you got to pay for licensing fees for different stock content or content from other episodes and shows and series that we have to feature inside the show. That costs money. Then you got the bandwidth fees, $400,000 or $500,000 a month. So really, if you look at the 250,000 subscribers versus what they're paying out in salaries and in funds and fees that they have to cover to keep the whole network up and running, they're not even making a profit at this moment. They're working towards making a profit, but they're still in the red. So it's what they call a burn rate. If you know, people who understand big business will understand what that means. This is they're in business to make money in the long term, not the short term. So 33 cents a day is an extremely cheap, low amount of money to invest into getting this type of knowledge. I myself used to have cable TV. I disconnected my cable TV. That saved me $180 a month that I was wasting and throwing away out of my life. So for me to pay $9.95 a month to watch Gaia is nothing. You just have to figure out in your life what you're willing to sacrifice and get rid of. You know, if you smoke cigarettes, you know, 1-2 packs of cigarettes is already double the price of Gaia. So, you know, it just depends. If partying, going out, maybe you sacrifice 1 eat out meal a month and spend $10 on Gaia. You know, so it's not about that the fact that they're trying to make money. It's the fact that they are really doing it. I like what you put it earlier. They're really giving you the information for free, but you've got to pay the cost of what it costs them to produce this content. They cannot do it at $0. It's virtually impossible. Unfortunately, we live in a society based off of this fiat money system to operate, and these people can't go home to their wife and kids and be like, oh honey, I just did another free production today for the truth seeking community, so we have to move out because we got foreclosed and I can't pay the mortgage. You see how it works? It's a little bit of give and take. There's no commercials in there. There's no TV commercials, so there's no sponsored commercials in there. So it's a community-supported network, just like PBS all these years, PBS Channel 2 on regular network TV. So 33 cents a day is not a lot to ask. 99 cents to sign up is not a lot to ask, and it's not a lot to invest into your knowledge base. Now, people go look buy all these books. I had an author actually tell me that you know, it should be free, and this guy's got multiple books in the bookstore. And I'm saying, well, can I get one of your books for free? No, you got to pay for this, $20. Okay, so I got to buy your book, but you got to get this for free. You got to understand, it's everything costs money, unfortunately, but this is as cheap as you can possibly get it. So hopefully that explains and answers the question for a lot of people out there as to why there's a $9.95 a month fee for Gaia TV. It's because they've got to keep the lights on so that you can continue to get the content, guys. Literally, that's really all it is.
It's like the information may be free, but the work is not. You know,
exactly.
And the fashion that we put it together in that the people like and appreciate, you know, that takes time and that takes effort and that takes energy and that takes it away from us doing everything else. So, you know, you're more than 100% right. You know, the information is free, but the work is not. But we do it because we love you guys. And that's why we treat it like a job. So I guess, you know, closing thoughts, you know, what would you like to tell the people? I think I think we covered, you know, from United 99 to Donnie Arcade to everything else. But, you know, closing thoughts, what would you like to tell the people?
Closing thoughts, man, I just want to tell the people, first of all, number one, I love all of you guys. And I know that's, it seems like, oh, this guy's just saying it, maybe a general statement, but I've literally dedicated my life to the community, to bringing conscious information, to educating people, to teaching people, to training people, to training and working with kids. I've literally spent thousands of hours, even away from my own family at times, to do this. And for the most part, I've spent more money into the community than I've ever gotten back and possibly will never be able to catch up to what I've spent into the community already from day number one till now. So I'm not doing this to get rich. Fortunately for myself, I have an entrepreneurial brain and I'm able to start other businesses that can help sustain myself. So I think that I really want you guys to know, man, that I really truly am your advocate. I really do truly love you guys and I really truly am here to try to usher in a whole nother level of consciousness. And I think that we're making some serious progress because when I go to restaurants, I hear people talking about GMOs now. When I'm out in the mall walking around, sometimes I hear people talking about conspiracies. And, you know, the other day I heard this older guy, which really surprised me. He was like, he appeared to be maybe a little older than me, maybe in his 50s, 60s. And he was talking about the fact that the government has, you know, reverse engineered alien technology. And I'm like, wow, this guy's talking about this out in the open, you know. So it's starting to happen, man. People are starting to talk about yoga and meditation and spirituality all over the place. So it's not just internet. It's not just Instagram. It's not just Freedom Faction. We are having an effect globally, man. We're really taking, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity that has been given to us and myself, Freedom Faction. We literally really true. You got to understand, we really love you guys. We wouldn't do this because I will tell you that there really is no significant revenue in doing this. I promise you this. And I just want to say one more thing. All of us need to have the same job on this planet. We need to create ripples in the space-time continuum that alter current and future realities in the third dimension. That should be our ultimate goal as a species on this planet. To learn the past so we can make changes in our destiny and make changes in our reality tunnels so that we don't relive the same atrocities over and over and get caught in this time loop. We need to break this loop and we need to alter these future realities, not for ourselves, but for future generations to come, for millennia. I look at us as being pioneers. And when people look back 10,000 years in the future back at us, they're going to be like, wow, those are the people that laid this down, that helped get us to the golden age again. We're ushering in the golden age on this planet. And please join us. Unite the 99.
Wow. I think that's a perfect way to end it. I want to say thank you, Mr. Carson, for coming on. It is always a pleasure. And we're definitely going to have you back on to talk about a few more things. I feel like I always have questions, and I never get to them.
Oh, man. I appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on, Mr. Carson, and we'll have you, and we'll talk to you real soon.
All right, cool.
And there you have it. It is the fantastic Billy Carson of Forbidden Knowledge, talking about all things awesome. As you can tell, mush mouth. It is always a pleasure to have on Mr. Carson. I was a little bit flabbergasted and a little bit astonished to have him on. And as you can tell, it is going to be a pleasure working with him in the future with all the different projects that he has and the other things that we have going on. Make sure you guys check out Unite the 99. We will put the link in the description bar below so you can check it out as well. Also, make sure you're checking out his website, forbiddenknowledge.com. That's where you guys can check out his deep space series. You can also check out his work on Gaia. You can also read his blog. There's a lot of different things that people are doing to affect change on a massive scale, and that's what we're trying to do for you guys, is to create this opportunity, to create this platform, and create this foundation so that we can get these types of things out to you guys. And we do it out of love, because this is what we're here for. It is upon us to create these changes and to do these types of things. But that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to leave me an email. I'll put it in the description bar below, or leave us a voicemail at 843-900-6296. And as always, guys, stay vigilant. Expose lies and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.